Dave Fanning on 2FM.
All right, Don't Worry, Darling. That's the name of a movie that's out at the moment. It's Olivia Wilde's much-anticipated suburban thriller starring Florence Pugh and Harry Styles. It's open to very strong audience numbers across the world. But before its release, the movie had been making headlines for many reasons, mainly to do with its press tour. So here to give us an explainer, if that's the right word for it, of the events, to take a look at some of the other press tours gone wrong as well, is TV and film journalist Deirdre Malumbi. Deirdre, how are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm doing very well. How's yourself,
good.
Dave?
I'm very good. Absolutely fantastic. Now, what went wrong? I presume we're talking wrong here, not just interesting, with the Don't Worry Darling tour.
I mean, the funny thing about this movie is that there was so much going on behind the scenes before, you know, publicity for the film even began. You had the fact that Olivia Wilde, who is the director of this movie, ended up having a romance with Harry Styles, who is the star of the movie. There's an age difference there, and obviously there was comments about, is this appropriate? You know, the director.
Well, she looked really happy at the Aviva there when Harry was on stage. Did you see her up in the box?
Oh yeah, absolutely delighted. Well, you would be, you know, if you were dating Harry Styles. In fairness, there was supposedly friction between Wilde and the star of the movie, Florence Pugh. There were different accounts about why Shia LaBeouf left the project, but really most of the gossip surrounding
this movie.
Can I just
say two things about that? Number one,
yes.
Is there any project he hasn't left? I mean, that guy is toxic, isn't he? He is, really, you know. That's number one. And number two, Florence Pugh is one of the best new actresses of the last 10 years. I think she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's absolutely fantastic. And we don't know, to be honest, exactly what happened there. But there was a bit of kind of chit-chat going on, particularly surrounding the Venice Film Festival, because apparently, now this was according to like gossip columnists and whatnot, Florence Pugh, Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles were very strategically placed away from one another during the photo op. So people were saying, like, what's going on with this? Florence Pugh didn't participate in the panel, although her publicity team was saying this was because she had to go back to resume filming for her new movie Dune. And then you had Olivia Wilde had to address the rumours of the fact that they both clashed, and she denied it all. You had Harry Styles kind of talking about the movie as a movie. If you watch one of the quotes from that interview, it's just so strange. I don't. It's like he's never been on a press tour before. He just doesn't know how to talk about the fact that he's in a movie. But of course, the big scandal to come out of this was Spitgate, when a video leaked of Harry Styles going to sit beside Chris Pine, and it really looked from angles and like tricks of the light or whatever that he did spit on Chris Pine's lap before sitting down next to him.
And he didn't.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
I'm going to show it to you right now. No, he definitely didn't. Okay, that did not happen. Okay, so the point about it is, though, you mentioned something. There's something you mentioned there I was going to get back on, which is much more interesting than Spitgate. I can't remember what it is. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Keep going. So what other press tours have infamously gone wrong?
I think that War of the Worlds is one of the best ones. And I love this quote from The Hollywood Reporter in 2020, in which they say, the month-long press tour for the Tom Cruise, Steven Spielberg blockbuster War of the Worlds could have benefited from a do-over. I think that one of the most famous incidents from this has to be when Tom Cruise decided to jump up and down on Oprah's couch when he appeared on her talk show to proclaim his love for Katie Holmes. And that was really just the beginning of everything
weird,
that went wrong here. It was very weird. It was very like erratic behaviour. People were like, is he on something? This is just very,
very
strange.
You did say erratic, right? Okay, fine.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, very strange. All right. No, I thought you said something else for a second.
There was also an incident where at the London premiere of the movie, he was sprayed by water with a trick microphone.
Now, I remember that one. And
yeah,
he got into trouble for jumping at the guy and giving out hell and shouting and screaming.
He really went off at him.
If I was Tom Cruise, I would have beaten the living crap out of the guy. Like, seriously, you're Tom Cruise, the most famous man in the world nearly. You're on a red carpet, you've got a security around you, and somebody comes up with what looks like a gun and shoots something out of it. I do the guy in.
I don't think it was that. I thought it was one of those little flowers that sprays water.
No,
or maybe I'm misremembering.
He aims it at him and something comes out of it.
Oh, is that it?
Crying out loud, you know?
Not great.
I know it's a spoof thing for a television, but I mean, you should be kind of expecting to get the shit beaten out of you and do.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, but the other one was just weird. I mean, like, I'm trying to defend Tom here in some ways because he's a movie star. I have a thing. Like, I mean, I saw the Top Gun movie recently. What's people on about it? I thought it was awful. I've no interest.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was like the proper summer blockbuster popcorn movie
the
stuff.
Cinema in Wexford, it was all over my head and going through things. All that stuff doesn't really do it for me anyway. But the point is, I do kind of, I have a soft spot for the guy in some ways.
I think that in fairness, he has calmed down a lot over the years. I don't know what it was around War of the Worlds in which he was just acting so kind of, you know, strangely and like I said, erratically. Another incident was when he appeared on Access Hollywood and he talked about how Brooke Shields was irresponsible for taking antidepressants.
I remember that. And he should have been absolutely pilloried for that. And I think he probably was a bit.
Yeah,
he was disgraceful.
So she was suffering with postpartum depression at the time. Now, in fairness, Cruz did later apologise and Shields actually attended his and Katie Holmes's wedding. So at least there was some recovery from that. But apparently all of his behaviour completely baffled Steven Spielberg. And actually it did cause something of a rift between the actor and Paramount. But I think this has healed since, because Top Gun Maverick obviously was their latest hit venture, and it was a huge collaboration.
One of the biggest movies ever made. Yeah. Here, I'll just give you a little 8 seconds of War of the Worlds. You ready? Here goes.
So this is interesting, Tom. We've never seen you behave this way before.
I know.
Have you ever felt this way before?
That's the couch jump and more and besides. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay, give us another one.
Red 2. So,
Red 2.
I love this one because I think that Bruce Willis's behaviour in this really encapsulates what a lot of celebrities wish they could say and act like.
That
at
was
these
on English TV, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so this was an interview he did with Magic at the Movies, a presenter named Jamie Edwards, who you do kind of feel sorry for watching the clip of, because he's actually very nice and maybe his questions aren't the most, I don't know, in depth. They're very like surface level and just trying to have a bit of crack. But I mean, Bruce Willis was just having absolutely none of it. He talked about the fact that they're just selling the movie, that the fun part was making the movie. At one point, the interviewer asked Bruce Willis about a car chase in the movie, and he talked about how he's thinking about driving right now, driving away from this interview. You just feel so sad for the guy.
Well, I mean, a lot of these stars have it in their contract. They got to do kind of, you know, Tokyo, London and LA at the very least, and they sit there all day long or for 2 days answering the same questions all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, if you looked up
By the way, I don't feel sorry for them.
yeah, they get a lot of money for this. I mean, if you look at Red 2 Junket, and it is the case with so many, like, he obviously had sat down with so many interviewers. Like, you see all the different channels that covered that particular
If I remember right, this one was in a TV studio on a programme, was it?
Yeah. And I mean, he was sitting there opposite Mary Louise Parker, who was his co-star in the movie, and she was just kind of sitting there awkwardly trying to be as polite and nice as possible. And in fairness, she did kind of later, when this interview went viral and everything, she was talking about how, you know, working opposite Bruce Willis, how he was an absolute gent. He was very chivalrous. He'd bring her coffee and blankets if she was ever cold, and she was really taken care of. So I think she wanted to emphasize that this isn't normal Bruce Willis. This is Bruce Willis at the end of a junket day who's just sick and tired, wants to go home.
Yeah, but also, just before I play a little bit of it, like, any idea when Red 2 was? What year, roughly?
Oh, I feel like it was somewhere in the 2000s.
Oh, so it was like more than 10 years ago?
I think so. Right, yeah.
Okay, here it goes.
What was your favourite place to actually film in? Because you do travel all over the world in this film.
Istanbul.
Where did you go to Istanbul?
Oh, not in this film. I thought you just were saying my
in
favorite.
In general,
I like Istanbul. I think it's a pretty good place to go.
At least it proves I've seen the film, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Has any actor ever told you this, Jamie? This part is not acting, what we're doing right now. You might be, but we're just selling the film now. Sales. The fun part was making the movie.
The fun part happened, yeah.
So how would you sell me the film then? What would you say that is the best part about the film?
I would slash my hooves.
No, I love this film.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mary Louise is great there. Yeah, fun part. Yeah, like,
she
just, can we just kind of, okay, fair enough. Like, I'll try and help out here. I mean, just wondering, is anything to do with the fact that, like, you know, Bruce has now been diagnosed and like, it's something that might have gone on for a long time. And he lost interest in a lot of things, in a lot of movies and a lot of things. Certainly these interviews that went on all day long, it wasn't his thing, was it? Okay, give us another one.
So Two Lovers. I mean, the funny thing about
the funny
thing about the promotion around this movie is that the promotion itself has almost become better known than the actual movie. So this was kind of an indie romance. It was directed by James Gray and it starred both Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Yes, Gwyneth.
I never saw it.
Yeah. And Joaquin Phoenix. And it's infamous because the actor kind of ended up completely going off in interviews. He had this really unkept beard. He was wearing these dark sunglasses and he was appearing in all of these junkets telling reporters that he was retiring from acting.
Wasn't that the David Letterman program then? Do you remember he went kind of like out there, you know?
He was
in character and nobody knew what the character was.
Exactly, no one knew what the character
was. This movie, wasn't it?
He was talking about like becoming a hip-hop artist. Yeah, I think at one point he took a wad of chewing gum and like stuck it under the desk. It was just so, so strange. And then it turned out it was because he was promoting a different movie, which was a faux documentary called I'm Still Here. But you feel kind of bad for the producers and the director involved in this movie because then that movie ended up not really being promoted because Phoenix was kind of secretly promoting this other movie.
Yeah, here's Two Lovers.
You know, it's been 3 years since the last time you were on the show, and I will just say right off the top here, you look different than I remember it. You've got a nice beard going.
Thank you.
How is that, the beard?
In my way.
Well, is it comfortable? Is it itchy? Is it? Are you pleased with it?
I'm okay with it, and now you're making me feel weird about it.
I'm sorry, I'm making you feel weird about it?
Is there something wrong?
I can't be the first one to make you feel weird about it.
No, I guess not.
God, that's ironic coming from Letterman, who's got a beard now down to his feet.
And it's funny because like that was all a performance. And in a way, you have to remember that when it comes to these press junkets and stuff, actors are putting on a different persona, particularly when you only have, you know, so much time with them. You kind of wonder how much of the real person am I getting here?
Was I'm Still Here ever made?
It was made in the end, and it got something of a small release. But now in 2010, two crew members from the film actually filed civil lawsuits against the director of the movie, Casey Affleck, citing sexual harassment, emotional distress and breach of oral contract. So in the end, it didn't actually get that wide a release. So both Two Lovers and the documentary I'm Still Here have kind of ended up being swept under the carpet as a result. So Joaquin Phoenix, for all his, you know, experimentation and this, you know, kind of, you know, faux performance that he was putting on and everything, it ended up really not being that successful at all.
Did he make amends with Joker, which was, you know, Oscar winning stuff?
This is another case where you're wondering, you know, where is the line between Joker, the character, and Joaquin Phoenix, and how, you know, all into this performance is he actually? Because, you know, there were fears when Joker came out. People might remember that, you know, the public was concerned that this film could incite gun and gang violence. And Joaquin Phoenix was actually asked about this on the press tour at some point. And he actually walked out of an interview when he was kind of pressed about this and if it would end up kind of inspiring the kind of people that it's about. Director Todd Phillips also subsequently talked about Phoenix's on-set behaviour being very strange. He'd sometimes walk away mid-scene. And I think particularly people might remember that a behind-the-scenes clip of Joker was shown during, I think it must have been Jimmy Kimmel Live, in which he was kind of going at the cinematographer and using not very kind language. But then Joaquin Phoenix's publicist was subsequently saying, oh, that was all a joke and that was just all in the sake of publicity. So again, you don't really know where the line
is. Yes, you do. I heard it. It wasn't a joke. Yeah. Fair play to him sometimes. It's like that, you know, that can happen, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, Todd Phillips would subsequently talk about, you know, this film hasn't gotten enough publicity, but yeah, there's no such thing as bad publicity, as it turns out.
Well, as it turns out, and here we're talking about it. What about, tell me about Suicide Squad.
Oh, this one is, I think that a lot of people will remember that this movie hit headlines when it emerged that Jared Leto had gifted his co-stars a number of like very, very strange things. He gave his co-star Margot Robbie a rat who was still alive and who apparently she kept for a certain amount of time until her landlord...
The rat was still alive?
Oh yeah, the rat. Right. Okay. Until her landlord got rid of it. Her landlord made her get rid of it. Viola Davis talked about the fact that Jared Leto had this henchman who came into the rehearsal room and the henchman had a dead pig and plopped it on the table and then walked out. And apparently this is true because Will Smith and a couple of other cast members have, you know, corroborated this. So this actually happened. Apparently he also gave used condoms and other really disgusting gifts that I won't talk about here right now. But he did later retract this. Again, I suppose he thought like maybe I've gone too far with this character and with the method. Scott Eastwood would talk about how he was scared of Leto. Will Smith and Margot Robbie said that they felt that they never actually met the real Jared Leto because he was just in character all the time. And Will Smith was also received, he also received bullets as a gift from him. Suicide Squad would go on to have really negative reviews. And the director, David Ayer, kind of went on the defence. He said he made it for the fans, but he also acknowledged that he wished he had made Joker a more prominent villain. But in the end, the film ended up actually making a mint at the box office.
Really?
So if you can say that that's a success, I suppose that's true. But I mean, Jared Leto...
If you can say they're making loads of money at the box office,
yeah,
it's a success, and we're talking Hollywood, that's a success.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean,
it's all about money.
But I mean, Jared Leto, of course, subsequently Joaquin Phoenix would go on to play the Joker. I don't know if Jared Leto is going to be invited back anytime soon, because I don't know who would work with him, yeah, if he was behaving
Jared Leto
that way.
Played in Ferdy McGann's movie years ago here in Ireland, The Last of the High Kings. But he wants to do Conor McGregor. He wants to do the Conor McGregor movie, if it's going to happen.
I mean, as long as he doesn't decide to actually, you know, beat people up in the street or something as part of his method, that would be my only concern.
Tell me about Life and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Life. So this is an example of a press tour gone wrong, but you could almost describe it as a press tour gone right, because if you watch the interviews for this movie with Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal, they're just so, so entertaining. So I think Ryan Reynolds at this point is well, well known. He has a great sense of humour. He's great comic timing. Whether he's playing a character or playing himself, again, it's not really known. But I think that whenever he works opposite other actors, he really does encourage them to keep up with his quips and his energy. And such was the case with this movie when he did Junket Day opposite his co-star Jake Gyllenhaal, and they basically spent every interview not really talking about the movie. They just kept going completely off script. I think that the interviewers themselves were having a great time because they were just having the chats about stuff like the Muppets, Deadpool. They were literally patting each other on the back, talking
about
the
chairs. Like, you know, obviously the movie companies would rather you talk about the movie, but I mean, if you can go with these actors wherever they're going, whatever tributary they take, and you can do it as well, you're laughing.
I think that the interviewers have a much better time as a result. But yeah, I'd wonder how happy the producers are with them not talking about the movie that extensively. But now, I haven't seen the movie myself, but from what I've heard with the movie Life, there isn't all that much to talk about, particularly when it comes to, I won't give the stuff away just in case people want to see it, but one of the characters, let's say, may not be in the movie for very long. So possibly that's also why they kind of went off script and talked about other things.
Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal, I've never even heard of it. Here, I'm going to give you a little bit of it.
The continuous shot are amazing, and I'm wondering for actors how you like what that means for you as an actor to do a shot like that. Obviously Fukunaga did it with your amazing Broadway shot. Talk about what you guys look like on set. Are you on wires moving around? How does that work?
Yeah, I love big wonders. That's always, they're always like a huge technical challenge. It does sound
big,
weird.
Big
love
wonders.
Big wonders.
I love big wonders, man. That's the best thing to do in a movie.
Is that what you call it?
Inside baseball here. Well, it's a one shot.
Yeah,
one shot. So it's a
big
wonder.
Big wonder.
It's a big wonder. It's also pillow talk with my wife.
Flush that down.
Nailed that big water. Nailed the big tour.
Blake! Big water! One man!
I'm sure it's very entertaining to see it as well.
It sounds like a great old time. I think that the movie itself is meant to be just a very, very straight sci-fi thriller horror.
Oh, really?
But apparently, even with the press tour being so entertaining, it didn't do particularly well at the box office. So there you go. Sometimes these things are hit and miss.
By the way, we're talking about messiest movie press tours, and Deirdre Malumbi is here. Tell us about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, so I think that Quentin Tarantino is definitely no stranger to controversy at this point. People in the past have criticized the fact that he uses racial slurs in reference to black people in a script, and a number of things have emerged about his past mistreatment of performers. But I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood just ended up having so much controversy around it. Shannon Lee, Bruce Lee's daughter, talked about how she thought that the way in which her father was depicted in the movie was very disrespectful and inaccurate. A lot of eyebrows were raised at the fact that the film had rewrote the tragic fate of Sharon Tate. But I think that the interview that went the most viral in relation to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was when there was a press conference being held, and one of the interviewers asked Tarantino about the fact that Margot Robbie has very few actual lines in the movie. And I've seen the movie, and the movie is mostly her walking around and dancing around. She really doesn't speak very much. But Tarantino basically listened to this question and answered, "Well, I reject your hypothesis," which is very simplistic. And in fairness, Margot Robbie herself was very good with, you know, coming out and defending it. She said that, you know, the theme of this movie is about the loss of innocence. And I think that that can be done without speaking. And she felt that she could sufficiently explore the character without that many lines. But I disagree.
Okay. Here's an example then.
Quentin, you have put Margot Robbie, a very talented actress, actor, in your film. She was in with Leonardo in Wolf of Wall Street, I, Tonya. This is a, you know, person with a great deal of acting talent, and yet you haven't really given her many lines in the movie. And I wondered, I guess that was a deliberate choice on your part, and I just wanted to know why that was, that we don't hear her actually speaking very much. And Margot, I wanted you to also comment about being in the film in this part.
Well, I just reject your hypotheses.
And that was his answer. That was it. And it was left to poor old Margot Robbie
Come
to
on,
defend
Quentin.
His writing.
All right, okay. So any other ones?
Lady Gaga. Yeah,
actually,
I think
before we say that, here's one here, that 51552. It says, Robert Downey Jr. walked out of a Channel 4 interview after the interviewer started asking him about his past drug use. Downey handled it very well and kept his cool until he calmly walked out. Nicely done, says Evan in Dublin. Yeah, I must say, the Robert Downey Jr. story is one of the most phenomenal ever. Like, the things he did in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, he was one time, he was walking home from someplace. He went into somebody's house, went into their bedroom. Yeah. And he had no idea what he was doing half the time. Yeah. And now he's the biggest box office star in the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. And actually, I know the exact interviewer that person is talking about. And he actually also interviewed Quentin Tarantino. And he asked these questions that really do rub, directors and filmmakers and actors up the wrong way. Because he was asking Quentin Tarantino about, the impact of violence in the film and could that be inspiring other people. And Quentin Tarantino just wasn't having it at all, completely shut the interviewer down. So, yeah, there are some really interesting interviews out there.
There's a few stories I could tell of what you've said. I'm not going to tell one now. I was actually interviewing Quentin Tarantino for this movie, and you know what happened exactly during the interview? Somebody came in to stop it and say, we got 5 nominations or something. It was the day of the Oscar nominations when they came out, just to tell him how many he got. And he wasn't fazed at all. Oh, okay, now where were we? This kind of thing, you know. Anyway, Lady Gaga.
Yes, so I mean, the funny thing about the Lady Gaga interviews for House of Gucci was that people were talking about the fact that she'd missed out on an Oscar nomination, but her performance during the press tour could almost get an Oscar nomination in and of itself. So there were all of these interviews that ended up having these very headline grabbing anecdotes. She told Variety that she'd hired a psychiatric nurse to be on set with her. She told W Magazine that she believed the real life Patrizia Reggiani, who she was playing in the movie, had cursed her with large swarms of flies. She spoke to a group of actors and asked them if they ever drink the prop drinks and actually feel drunk, even though they're not
so
real.
We're talking here like hyperbole. She was just making half of this up.
I don't
know
what she was doing. Oh, right. It's just kind of crazy. And again, I think that all of these interviews are in print format, so you kind of wish that you were there and you could actually hear the tone in which she delivered all of these crazy lines. But A Star Is Born is another press tour on which she embarked, which kind of went viral. She would repeatedly say of her director and co-star Bradley Cooper, there could be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you, and you only need one of them to believe in you. And she said it so many times that it actually became something of a running joke, and now you can see memes about it. It was referenced at the Golden Globes and all
of
these
things. Yeah,
but if
you're going to be interviewed 40 times in one day,
Yeah, and I mean, it was her first time kind of with a movie of like this scale, like talking about it. And you do get asked the same question over and over, so why not give the same answer? It's a bit exhausting coming up with 40 different answers.
Well, here we go, look.
There can be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you. But I had this one incredible talent with me.
There can be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you, and you just need one to believe in you, and that was him. So
you can have 100 people in the room that are watching you and 99 don't believe in you, and one does, and that was him. So,
you know, there could be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe, but all it takes is one.
You know, 100 people can be in a room and 99 don't believe in you.
Okay, maybe you just one try a little harder there,
and it can change
Lady
everything.
Gaga. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it does sound pretty weird when you do it like that. Have you had any problems, any mad things go wrong when you were talking to movie stars?
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think now. I do remember once asking Denzel Washington something along the lines of the Oscars, and then I forgot that he himself is an Academy member and that he himself kind of, you know, votes in like the Oscars and everything. And he kind of just went really serious and stoic in his facial expression. And then I was like, oh gosh, this is the man who stars in The Equalizer. I should not have asked this question.
You didn't ask him what he said with the slap, did you? You didn't ask what he said to calm your man down.
Oh, no. That was years ago. But I mean, it's still an absolute gent and hero. And he was very nice to me after that. I quickly moved on from the Oscars question.
And rightly so. All right, listen, Deirdre, thanks a million. Deirdre Malumbi, it is, as in TV and film journalist.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.